Hello everyone, and welcome to Phone Show Chat 903. It's Wednesday the 29th of July, in the morning, to try and grab a cool piece of the day in the UK. Actually, it's not too bad up here, but for poor Joe down the south, it's much worse, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, well, I'm all right because I'm in just a pair of shorts and I've got the window open here, so I'm okay. I've got some apologies to make, haven't I, Ted?
Oh yeah, so we do apologise. We promised you a show on Monday, and we're 2 days late. So yes, apologise.
And it was my fault because I totally lost track of what day it was. I was editing my video for the laptop video I made and just totally lost track of time. So it's all my fault, sorry. And sorry to Ted. And if he saw me, he might give me a smack. But yeah, thankfully,
no worries.
Too far away.
if I was doing the decent thing, I would have sent you a message and say, where are you? But I was too apathetic and passive.
Yeah, he was very kind. Yeah, you should have sent me a message and said, where are you, you beep?
Yeah, no worries. Anyway, we're here now. And we will be back with another show on Monday, 3rd of August, with Zain Shahid. So watch out for that one. And if Joe turns up, it'll be a nice show. So we'll look forward to that totally. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle, and Podhub UK you can find us at, and if you get lost, tedsalmon.com has got everything else you will need, but more of that later. We don't have a guest today. This is a bit of a catch-up show. It might be a shorter one, but we'll see how we go. We thought we would chuck it in here, though, because we were aware of the fact that the Samsung Galaxy Unpacked thingy event was going on since our last recording. And Joe, I think you should possibly take the lead here because you're the one that's actually had hands on, or rather eyes on, in the same room at least, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've only had hands on with the Fold 8, which is the wide one, which the naming's totally wrong. We'll get into that later. But that I quite like the form factor of that one. It comes in £100 cheaper than the Fold 7, doesn't it? Which is a good starting point. It's basically the size of a passport, isn't it? Which I feel that's what it should have been called, the passport, rather than Fold 8. It's just to confuse everyone. You've got two 50 megapixel cameras on there. This one is marketed as being a content viewing device, though. So that's why the cameras aren't a main focus on there. I love it. I really like the form factor. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Ted.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's a really nice size. In some ways, I think it's... I put a in the group this week and in our recording notes here, I put a little render that I cooked up in Google Draw or whatever it's called, of the Pixel Fold 2023 against the new Z Fold 8. And you can see that it's a tiny little bit wider, but it's definitely not as tall. And until I saw that rendering, I was convinced that the Pixel Fold was the bee's knees and the best thing. But actually, I do wonder if I now prefer the look of that Fold, the Z Fold 8, frankly, in terms of a passport size device. I saw Flossie Carter with hands on in a couple of videos now, and he was giving it a big run through and comparing it with all sorts of other devices. And I think I'm probably with you. I like the look of it. And if I didn't have the Pixel Fold and I had loads of money, I might well consider it.
I'm talking to loads of money. So it starts at $1,699 for 256 gigabyte variant. The 512 is then $1,869. And then if you want 1 terabyte, it's £2,000, £119. I mean, it's better value for me than the Fold 8 Ultra, though, which I'll get into later. One thing I think it will gain is some of the flip users, I think, could flip over, if you like.
Right.
Which adds to the rumours that Sammy may drop the flip in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still think the flip is a great form factor for certain people that want a smaller device in their pockets and bags and stuff. But yeah, this is quite small and could well change people over, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely could. When, going back to what you're saying about the pricing, it's a bit annoying that they've hiked such a difference for the storage, and I guess that comes down to this whole Ramageddon thingy, whatever it's called,
Yeah, Armageddon.
with the prices of storage and RAM and all the rest of it. Because the difference between the 512 and the 1 terabyte is, I haven't worked this out, but it looks like it's about 150 quid. Is that right? 900. So yeah, it's about 150 quid, isn't it?
Yeah, each one, yeah.
And the difference is, between the 256 and the 512 is about the same. And previously, I think you kind of were hoping that that would be about 50 quid. And also, with the likes of Motorola making 512 gigabytes standard now, almost right across the mid-range and above devices. It feels like, I don't know. I know that you're paying here for the research and development and the form factor and all the rest of it, because it folds and it's small and it's a risk for them and all the rest of it. But yeah, I do think I like the look of it. I have to agree.
Yeah, but when you compare the value, so the 512 Fold 8, so I'll say the Fold 8 Ultra pricing now, that
Right.
starts at 256, 1899. So the 512 Fold 8 is cheaper than the 256 Fold 8 Ultra. That's better, much better value, isn't it, really? You then got the 512 Ultra is £2,069. £2,069. So that's a lot of money. And in your 1 terabyte, you're talking up nearly 2.5 grand. It's 2,319. It's a lot of money, isn't it? The what's your thoughts on the Fold 8 Ultra? Like, it's not too much of a move from the Fold 7 for me to warrant the extra money. It's, I mean, it's got silicon carbon battery now. That's one thing to talk about, isn't it?
For me, the book style folds are too big. I think I as you know, I veer towards the whole benefit of the Z Fold 8, the wide one, is that you can use it one handed, and I've got used to using the Pixel Fold one handed, and it's just great. It's yeah, when you want to open it up and do something on the bigger screen, you can, whether it's consuming media or editing a document or whatever it is. Then you've got that. But I do think that, much like the Pixel Fold 2023, people are more likely to use, certainly something that Flossie was saying on in his reviews, that he's spending 90% of the time on the outside screen, and that's exactly what I have done. And over the years, I've reported the same thing, that that's what I do. The times I open up the Pixel Fold are few and far between. The Fold 8 Ultra, as it's being named, for whatever
Can
reason,
you hear
best known
me?
to them.
I'm still trying to find furniture.
Can you hear
Aye,
that?
aye. Stand by. Saoirse's here. Hello, Saoirse.
She's trying to find some furniture for her toys. To be fair, this is her playroom that she never plays in, but a lot of her toys are here, so we may see her creep in every now and again.
You've hijacked her playroom, you
Yeah.
cad.
Well, it's half my office, half her playroom.
Right. Fair enough. Anyway, nice to hear her voice. She sounds very cute. So the Ultra, I think, I was watching Mr. Brownlee's thoughts on the Fold 8 and the Fold 8 Ultra, and he did a fair job of trying to explain why they called the big one the Ultra and not the wide one the Ultra. And if you listen to that rationale, it kind of makes a bit of sense. I can't remember exactly the details now, but have a look at what's his name? Marquis.
Marcus Brownlee, yeah.
Marquis. Marquis.
MKBHD.
Yeah. He has a go at explaining that, but then there's the Z Flip 8, isn't there? Which you touched on just now, but that looks very very much like the Flip 7. The news here, as you said earlier, though, is that that there's much talk about them not continuing with the line.
Yes, I mean, I can see the Fold 8 form factor eating up a lot of sales from the flips, because I think again it will appeal to both males and females as well, because that's been a talking point where a lot of people said the book folds is more masculine and more males go for that. That's not to say all males, there's lots of females that like it too, but this one blurs the lines a bit more. I think it appeals to almost everyone. I can see flip sales definitely reducing as a result. I mean, the Flip 8 isn't, again, much of an upgrade from the Flip 7, in my opinion. You've got the silicon carbon, haven't you, across the board? The Fold 8 Ultra has got a bump in capacity as well. I think it's 4,400 to 5,000 now. So it should have better battery life there. I think it's the same main camera lens, same camera system, isn't it, though? For me, it's a little disappointing when you give an Ultra tag. I want to see a little bit more there, you know. I want to see a better telephoto, maybe. That's just my opinion.
What's the Ultra got? Just three times?
Yeah, I think it's the same as what it had on the Fold 7. Let's have a look. So it's got the 200 megapixel main, which is absolutely fantastic, a 1/1.3-inch sensor, a nice big sensor there. So the main is excellent. You then got a 10 megapixel telephoto with a really small sensor, 1/3.94. That's just really, it's not a great sensor at all.
It is three times optical, yeah.
So so in good light, I dare say you'll probably get decent images, but I think that's the same telephoto sensor, I might be wrong, that's in the Edge 60 Pro.
Right.
Which is a Moto device worth, what, £600?
Right, yeah, fair enough.
Doesn't fold, though, no. But when you call your Fold an Ultra, that doesn't scream out Ultra to me, really.
No, fair enough. I suppose the emphasis is on the main camera, isn't it?
Yeah, which is fantastic. That is a good camera. That's the main from the Ultra slab phone. So that is a good lens. We all know it's a decent lens, that one.
I was going to say Android 17, it arrives with, and seven upgrades, which is, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Android 24, which is very impressive. And
yeah.
7 years of security patching. So if you were to look at the cost of this, if you knew that this was really, really what you wanted, and you look at the cost of this over 7 years and divide it down, I suppose you could argue that it's not that bad. The other thing I was going to mention, going back to what you're saying about flip versus fold wide one, is that let's not forget that the... I think it's partly what happened with Huawei with the Pura X and all that, is that they went in even wider and smaller and stubbier with the wide thing, and apparently that is, you know, has sold really, really well, and I think you're right about the flip crowd probably going over in terms of that example.
Yeah, because it's not too much bigger, and there's a lot of gain there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I noticed you pointed out that the Fold 8 doesn't have pen support. I didn't know Ultra did. Has the Ultra got pen support then?
The Ultra slab phone.
No, the Ultra foldable.
No, the new Fold 8 Ultra doesn't have pen support.
No, neither of them do. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something missing there, which, again, an Ultra... I can understand the Fold 8 not having it, the wider one, but the Ultra, with the Ultra name tag, it, for me, it just needs to have these things.
I think they're just getting disinterested in the S Pen personally.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, they're concluding, I think, that no one's using it. I don't think they'll give up on it with tablets. And I think that for me as well, I think a stylus with a tablet is much more useful than with a little phone. And as usual with these things, I think they monitor how many people are using the pens. And that's, you know, the first of all, they took away the Bluetooth and made them dumber, didn't they? And now they're just taking them away altogether. I don't know how much. Okay, you've had the Moto Razr Fold and the V5 before it, the Honor V5.
Yeah.
How much in reality did you use your pens styluses with either of them opened up or closed?
This is where it's funny, because not much, but I still want the option. It's stupid, isn't it? It's like anything they take away. Like, did I use expandable storage much? No, but it's nice to have the option. Headphone jacks, again, I didn't really use them much, if I was honest. But was I upset they took them away? Yes. Like, I prefer to have the option with these things. So I think we'll talk about the watches in a moment, but quickly on the phone still, I just think there's better options out there. Like, the Honor V6 for me is far superior for hardware and it's better value, right? So quickly, a breakdown: 6,660 mAh battery versus 5,000. Now, I know the Samsung's well optimized, but 1,660 mAh, you can't optimize for that. That hardware's better. It's going to be better battery life. And with that, you've got better, faster charging, both wired and wireless. The screens are pretty comparable, but you've got a higher peak brightness on both screens. And in the summer, that's especially much needed. And you've got the added eye care with the Honor device as well. You've also got features like the anti-reflective coating on the inner screen and are potentially more durable, as that could be argued, though. Now, this is a key point, which you mentioned earlier, Ted. The base storage starts at 512. This is a premium device, and they start the storage at 512. This is where some of the savings are. And it's got 16 gig of RAM at standard as well, which you pay a premium for with the Sammy Foldable. You've got full IP68 and 69 versus IP48, which is a bit of peace of mind with a folding device. I've mentioned this in the past. Honor have shown the V6 being open and closed underwater. That's really, really great. It's a good peace of mind there. I'd argue that it's a more rounded camera system. Yes, like I've said, the main camera on the Fold 8 Ultra is fantastic, but I'm a huge fan of telephoto lenses. And the 64 megapixel telephoto lens on the V6 is brilliant. And lastly, I love the V6 in red. So that's just a cosmetic thing. Now, staying on that, though, there's another foldable that I have in my hands right now. US listeners can get this as well. So not just UK listeners. And that's the Moto Razr Fold. Again, I think this shouldn't be slept on versus the Fold 8 Ultra. You've got 6,000 mAh battery. That 1,000 mAh, no matter how well optimized the Samsung is, that's going to be better for me. Again, more rounded camera system, as mentioned, like the V6. A higher peak brightness on the screens again. A better IP rating. So you've got IP49 added on the Razr Fold. Again, better base storage at 512. Faster charging, and it's cheaper at 1799. The only real downside on the Razr Fold is probably that it's a little bit heavier, quite a bit heavier actually than both, but it's not unbearable. And if you can live with that, I'd say it's a much better option. I've done a link to GSM Arena on V6 and Razr Fold versus the Fold 8 Ultra. Now, this is not to say I don't think the Fold 8 Ultra is a great rubbish device, because I know a lot of people are going to buy it and I don't want to poo-poo on them. Of course, it's a great device. Samsung do amazing stuff with One UI. You've got loads of great updates. But it's just, I feel, value for money, them two are better options.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Certainly the charging options as well. So 80 watt wired, 50 watt wireless. Whereas, you know, that's kind of double in round terms what the Samsung is offering as well. And can you use the Moto pen thingy on the outside and inside?
Yes, that's a good point. So both the V6 and Razer have pen support, both inside and outside. So, yeah, all these things stack up, don't
I was aware that the Honor one had pen on the outside, but I couldn't remember about the Moto, so that has as well. And there's also, for people that use the Selfie a lot, it would seem that the Selfie is a significant improvement on the Moto over the Samsung as well.
It is indeed. Yeah, it's a very nice lens actually. Not the most important one, but it's one that people may use a lot.
What about sound speakers?
So I haven't tested the Fold 8 Ultra. I can say the V5 and the Razer both got very good speakers. Probably comparable to the Samsung, I would say. Wouldn't be too much difference. Not enough to sway you to pay the extra money, I wouldn't say.
So yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm not, I have a love-hate relationship with Samsung anyway, but I just like the I would much rather have the Razer Fold. I'm not particularly interested in Honor these days. I've fallen out of love with Honor, and we might come to that in your what's it called? Oh yeah, Joe's Throws.
Joe's froze, yeah.
And a large part of that is because of what they've done with the software and the Apple thing, which is really annoying. But on the face of it, the V6 or the V5 before it, that's really the only thing that would put me off of it and make me head towards the Razer Fold instead. And of course, as you know, I'm a huge Motorola fan anyway. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of interest, particularly in our MeWe group, for the wide Fold 8. And Motorola have not done that yet. I can't see that they're gonna be very much longer in doing it though, particularly when Apple's version comes out, and Samsung have jumped in and Huawei are in there. I think Motorola will do one, very much like this form factor, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. There's rumours Honor have got one in the works. So yeah, and the Oppo have got the Find W
Yes, YW,
rumoured
that's
as
right.
well. So yeah, I think they're all going to go with this form factor, which is great because I love it, and that's the most appealing thing from this Unpacked event. Despite the upgrades on watches, which we'll touch on, I think it's the most exciting thing about the Unpacked event.
Yeah, cool. Well, I've got a motor I've got a Samsung Galaxy Watch Ultra 1. And I was looking at the specs between that and the Ultra 2, and I wasn't in any way convinced that it was much better. Were you?
No, it's just the battery life being slightly better, maybe. It's got the Snapdragon powered chipset now. I wonder how what aspect what that changes. I don't know if that make it better or not, really. It'd be interesting to compare the two. I'm sure some big YouTuber will do that. Because what's the milliamp hour size on the original?
Good question. I'm just on the fly. The Galaxy Watch Ultra. Let's do a comparison. Oh, it hasn't found it. That's because I've spelt it wrong. What a buffoon. Right, here we go. The Watch Ultra. What was your question? Battery.
Yeah, the size of it. Let's see what.
590.
Ah, so it's
And
800.
it's not silicon carbon either. So yeah, you'd hope that it would last longer, wouldn't you?
There's talk about it being able to do diving as well, but
Yes.
I don't think any real divers are going to pick this over something that's probably better for diving.
Specialist,
Yeah, specialist sort of watch. But I mean, it's nice to have. It's swim proof. That's the main bit, isn't it?
It says 40 meters. You can go down in water with it.
Yeah. I guess for your people going on holiday, jumping in the pool, that's nice to have, isn't it? Yeah, not major updates. I guess it depends on
No.
that battery life, really, because that's a key thing for me, which stops me buying Samsung watches.
I suppose so. And my Watch Ultra, when I'm in my Samsung mode, It doesn't last me more than a day. Well, maybe a little bit more than a day, but it's a charge every night watch, really. So this might make it a 2-day watch, I suppose, depending on what you're doing with it, of course.
It's more reasonable. I notice it's 5,000 nits peak brightness on the screen, though. That's quite nice. That's pretty bright.
Yeah. It doesn't say what on GSM Arena. It doesn't say what the original nittage is, which is unhelpful. But
I know that is an improvement, though.
I've had no complaints though about the brightness of the screen on mine. I really haven't. It's really bright. So I don't know why they need to improve it.
For extreme, if you're on top of a mountain, Ted, and
yeah, that's fair enough. I, as you know, my lifestyle is not climbing mountains and going to the beach in Tunisia. So perhaps that would be slightly different. They do have the base storage at 64 gigabytes now, though, which is interesting. My watch is 32 gigabytes, and I've got it stacked full of music because the speaker on it's really good. I've banged on about that before. So basically doubling what you can store on the watch. I'm not convinced that anyone else particularly will be storing their music on their watch apart from me, but I think it's good to have as an option. And when you're playing music on it, well, it follows you around the house.
Well, again, Ted, if you're just going to go up a mountain and you could put some music on your watch, that's pretty good. I think the base model looks like a nice improvement. The Watch 9,
not looked at that one. Okay,
it's got a bump in battery size.
Watch 9, Galaxy Watch 9, right, here we go.
That Snapdragon powered chipset. I don't know how much that will change things. From all accounts, it's normally better though. I think it's got IP rate 68 rating as well. So up to 50 meters. I think it's a nice upgrade from the Watch 8. Not saying I'd go for myself, but listeners.
They're exactly the same though. I'm looking at them side by side now, and there's a Snapdragon chipset. You're absolutely right. But if you look through the specs, is everything the same? Oh, the battery is very slightly bigger. They're both lithium ion, it says.
Are they not done the... I thought they did the silicon carbon, my bad. That's not good then.
Yeah, it's a real slight upgrade, isn't it? Everything else looks the same, though. It's like spec for spec, apart from that chipset, I think.
I thought it had more of a bump on the...
Physically. No. Physically, they're looking identical to me as well. Anyway, that's the way of the world, isn't it? Incremental updates. We've got used to that now.
Yeah. You are right. Actually. I stand corrected. It's not a good upgrade. Forget what I said. It looks like the same watch.
the Watch Ultra 2 looks like slightly more of an upgrade, particularly if you're into diving.
The Ultra Watch is more exciting, definitely. I thought it had a bigger bump on the battery, but it really hasn't, has it? No, that's... forget what I said then. Watch 9 is rubbish.
I tell you what the Watch Ultra 2 and the Watch 9 do have, though, is 5 years of OS updates. So I think that's new for watches, certainly with Samsung. Presumably it's arriving with Android 7, or they might have only the Wear OS 16, I think. Anyway, they're going to give 5 OS upgrades to that, which is really good. And one of the real plus Samsung points, I guess.
Did you see the price of the Watch Ultra 2, though?
Oh, no. What are the prices?
I believe it's $749 in the UK. Mm-hmm. Let me double check. Which is it's in line with what Apple's doing, to be fair. Ultra, let's have a look quickly for the actual price. I should have looked at this beforehand, shouldn't I?
No worries. So while you're doing that, Well, not doing that. I'll just I'll say that in the show notes we'll have links to the article on Tech Radar about the silicon carbon battery improvements on the device, the phones, and also there's an article on Android Authority, which I'll link to, about the missing pen support, which is quite an interesting read. And also the article on Android Authority about the fact that the Samsung are promising 5 OS and security updates. So I'll put all those three links in the show notes for people to have a look at.
Right, so I'll stand corrected, Ted. It's 649, so it just undercuts the...
Right.
And that is for, it's just LTE is standard, 47 mil. So there's no Wi-Fi option. It's just one.
Really?
Yeah, there's LTE.
Right. I don't think mine has that. Oh, well, I've never used it, if it has. But I think mine's Wi-Fi only. So that's another change, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's good. If you've got an Ultra Watch, it should come with LTE as standard, I think. I think that's a good move.
Perhaps it has.
Yeah. You got two colours, titanium silver and then titanium grey, which essentially looks black to me. it does undercut the Apple Ultra Watch slightly. So that's not too bad. That's just better than I thought. Still very pricey.
I think I need to correct myself, Joe, here, because it looks like my Watch Ultra has indeed got LTE 4G.
Yeah. You should do. I think, when you have an Ultra Tab, you should have these things.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
Oh, no, that's it to say on there. I think we'll move on from watches now. The only thing, again, is I'd argue there's better options out there. There's the Huawei, the Huawei Watch GT 6 Pro, but there's also, which can be paired up to an Apple device as well. Oh, you've got the Honor Watch 6 that's just come out. Looks quite nice. Which I mentioned previous show. I'm not going to get into it too deeply now, but yeah, it's worth looking at. Maybe I'll get a hands-on with one.
1899. So if you bought a Fold 8 and the Watch Ultra, it will be about 2,700 quid. Divide that across 5 years of the watch's updates, and it's about £500 a year. What's that, £10 a week, isn't it? So, yeah. Depends how pragmatically you look at it, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in that Samsung ecosystem, which I can understand why people would be, because One UI is really good, and there's loads of products to go for, then yeah, Ultra Watch 2, go for it. And I would say the Fold 8.
And also, Samsung will always be doing good trade-in deals, in my experience. So if you've already got a Galaxy device or three, I think that they're quite reasonable and generous almost with trade-ins. And also, let's not forget that in 3 to 6 months' time, all these prices will be up for grabs anyway in terms of what you can in real world get it for, and the Amazon Prime Day and all the rest of it, you know. You absolutely have to have it on day one, which describes probably about... a dozen people in our MeWe group, then hang on and wait for 3 to 6 months and just get it later. And also you'll get bugs squashed by then as well and updates to software. So perhaps not the best idea to get it on day one, but then it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, the temptation, fear of missing out and all that.
Yeah. Right, okay, if we're done with Samsung then, we'll just quickly mention the... Are we done with Samsung?
I'd say so, yeah, we've pretty much covered that, haven't we?
Okay, we'll quickly mention the one for Jim Powell, the Light Flip Dumb Phone, which has been announced. And this is a light phone, which we've seen before in a kind of monoblock ratio. This is... a flip phone in the same, and it's it looks very much like a kind of, well, an original Razor, or, you know, back in the dumb phone days. And it is kind of dumb in a sense, but it's no more dumb than the light phone, which we've had a look at as well. The T9 keyboard, of course, is for input, although it does have a touch display, so you'll be able to interact with the screen on the touch. It's got a 2.8-inch screen, which is apparently it's an OLED display. It's not got touch support. I take that back. I thought I read that as touch support, but it's without touch support. So your physical keys are all you've got. But the keys do look really nice, as they were on the light phone, rounded in design. It's got stereo speakers, a 50-megapixel main camera. It does do 5G, has 5G support, and you can put an eSIM in it, or you know, hook it up with an eSIM or a nano SIM. So it's got both on that. 128 gigabytes of storage is the maximum, with no micro SD for expansion. So you've had that. 6 gigs of RAM. It's got a MediaTek chipset, the MT8873, which I think is the one that, isn't that the one that Fairphone used for their longevity status of 10 years of updates or something? Can't quite remember. I need to check that. Notification light. Hurrah!
Really?
A la Sony. Hurrah. It's got a replaceable battery, mind you, and it's got a 3.5mm headphone jack. You can get it in red, pink, yellow, black, grey and navy. And it's got a developer program as well with LightOS. So it means that, much like the Pebble Watch, you can get stuck into the community if you want to and develop stuff for it alongside other like-minded people, which is quite interesting. The bad news is that it's not going to be available until next April.
Oh, wow.
What's it, July now? So it's a bit of a long lead into this one, so we won't dwell on it too much, but it looks like it's probably going to be about £250. But just interesting. And if you've had a look at the light phone itself, then you'll see how the thing is geared towards taking time away from, you know, from what we've got used to with smartphones, and it's kind of half dumb in that respect. So I like the look of it, though. I like the look of the way in which it seems to be built and the hinge from the picture we can see. And I think it might be quite popular with some people. And it's not ludicrously priced as well. So any thoughts?
I like the fact that it's a matte OLED display. So it's got a matte finish to it. Mm-hmm. That red pops, doesn't it? Because it comes in 6 different colours, red, pink, yellow, and the usual black, grey and navy. So you've got some bright options there for you as well. That big speaker, I'm guessing that's a speaker at the bottom.
Yeah.
I wonder how that performs. But yeah, it looks like a fun little phone, doesn't it? Little pub phone.
Yeah, it does. And it might be a bit more than a pub phone, because, you know, some people might actually take it seriously and just have it as their main device. People that want a small, and to get away from, like I was saying earlier, it's all the trend to kind of ditch the smarts and get dumb again, isn't it? So
yeah, there's definitely a market for it.
Right, okay, on to Joe Throws then, and the aforementioned tease to Honor.
Yeah, so my SIM is still in the Razor fold, but I have been tempted to put it in the 600 Pro, which basically I've had for quite some time, longer than I'm supposed to. Needs to go back to Honor, whoops. So yeah, I've used the 600 Pro more lately. I took it to Wingfest with me. And I really enjoyed using it. It really is a nice device, and I've really grown to like it even more. I'll tell you the reasons why I like it.
Before you do that, tell everyone what Wingfest is.
Okay, So London Wingfest is the largest wing festival in the world, and I've been going for years now. a day of eating wings and drinking, and it's great fun. Highly recommended for a day out. They do other locations as well, but the London one is the biggest one.
Wings? Pigeon wings?
Chicken wings.
It's all chicken, is it?
All chicken, yeah. I mean, there is some other things out there. So, like, there's actually a brownie place I go every year, and I bring a box of brownies home for the family called Savvy Baker. They're very good. You can get churros and things like that there as well. So there is other vendors there, but predominantly chicken wings. And you're actually meant to vote for your favourite wings. You have the three categories: best buffalo wing, best wild wing, and best barbecue wing. But there's some really weird and wonderful things. I tried a matcha raspberry one, which was disgustingly sweet, and I didn't like it. But one of my friends bought that, so I didn't mind giving one a try. But yeah, that just shows you sort of the scope of where things go. There's some weird and wonderful flavours. That last 2 years, there was an apple crumble wing, which I absolutely adored. They didn't do it this year. I was gutted. They've done a lemon one instead, which was okay, but it wasn't a patch on the apple crumble one they used to do. But yeah, it's a great day out. Highly recommend it if you're looking for something different to do.
Right, thank you.
I took the 600 Pro there with me to vlog the day, as I did last year with the 400 Pro. So it's become a tradition now. Why I like it, the size and weight, it's only 195 grams and it's really thin. It's 7.8 millimeters thin, so it's not too thin, but it feels great in the hand, but it's thin enough. The screen's wonderful, 6.57 inch. That's not massive, but decent enough size. 120 hertz AMOLED with the eye care stuff there, which you expect from Honor. It's got wonderfully symmetrical tiny bezels, which this is market leading, actually. It's less than a millimeter. It's 0.98 millimeters all the way round, which is a really nice touch from them. It has a peak brightness of 8,000 nits. I don't know how often it gets to that, but it certainly did really well in the sun at Wingfest Saturday. It's got a 6,400 milliamp-hour battery, so the battery life is fantastic. It's got a very decent camera system. So it's got the main is the telephoto from the 8 Pro. So it's the 1/1.4-inch sensor, 200 megapixels on the main. It's then got a 50-megapixel telephoto. I don't know the sensor size because I can't find it anywhere, but one thing I do know about it has a SEPA rating of 6.5 compared to the 8 Pro's 5.5. So the stabilization on the telephoto is excellent. Really, really good. Not that I showcased that very well, but in my video, but yeah, it is really good. I do need to do proper low light testing though, to see how that all fares. But for me, it seems like a very decent camera system. Speakers are very, very decent enough as well. Which I find most Honor devices, the speakers are very good. And while you've got it for free, the image to video 2.0 is great fun. So you can add multiple images. You can make your own prompts now, Ted, which is really nice, really fun to do. But like I say, only while it's free, because I certainly wouldn't pay for it. Originally, I said 899 was a bit steep for this device. But when you actually compare this to the Signature, which I said was good value, it's quite comparable, really. And I think this is just a sign of where devices have gone in price. So I think I'll go back on that and say 899 isn't too bad, although you can probably get the 8 Pro for that at times, which I'd say is a better device. But yeah, that being said, you'd probably get the 600 Pro cheaper if you wait for the right time. But yeah, 899 is still okay, I'd say.
I was watching a video on YouTube last night by some Filipino chappy I can't remember the name of the channel now, but he was disagreeing with you on the speakers because that's what I was waiting for him to cover. And it's only one opinion, I grant you, but he said that the speakers had virtually no bass. He said the volume is loud and you can oik it up to 200%, but actually, if you do, it then sounds terrible and horrible. So don't do that. But he said, yeah, there's virtually no bass, but you're finding differently.
Well, I think they're decent enough. I'll give it some more testing. I'll certainly give it more testing, but for me, it's decent enough. I mean, I guess what's your expectations from a phone speaker? Do you know what? I listen to quite a lot of podcasts more than, so maybe I haven't really looked at bass. I'll give that a test, Ted, and come back to you on that one.
We'll come back to that question of, phone speakers when I do my TED spread in a little while, because that'll be pertinent to the what's name. But your video is very much a camera centric one, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's as much to document Wingfest as it is to showcase the cameras. It's a bit of both because it's not a video that I expect to do well. It won't interest a lot of people, but if you do want to have a little insight into the camera's performance, then worth checking out. Or if you want to see what Wingfest is a bit like, either way, then it's worth watching. But
Should be
yeah,
fun.
I do plan to try and get a few more videos done for the 600 Pro because I am really enjoying it and it does deserve it. But I do have to give it back soon, and if that means I'm getting a V6, I won't mind that. But let's see what happens.
What about the software? Is it as Apple influenced as my 400 Pro is?
Yeah, I mean nothing's changed there. It's still because you've got Magic OS 10, haven't you? On that, yeah. So it's Magic OS 10. I don't mind it myself. I can see Apple blurring into a lot of Android OSs now. So yeah, I don't mind it myself as long as I've
But
got that navigation.
physically as well, it just looks like an iPhone, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people say that. So I think it's a lot lighter for a start. And when you see it in person, it does look a bit different. Yeah, it does look a bit different. It's kind of pixel-esque as well, I'd say. It's like blurs between the two. It's a lovely matte finish on the back. I'm just feeling it out of the case now. It's got like a unibody build, which is quite unique to it.
I like the size of the screen, 6.57 inches. When I saw a picture of this up against the 600, the Honor 600, not Pro, it looked as though the shape of it and the corners were much nicer, and the corners were more of a curve around the corners than the non-Pro version. You haven't got a non-Pro version there as well, have you?
No, I haven't got the non-pro,
No.
but I do remember. But looking at this in my hand now, you are right. It's lovely curves, top and bottom around the
Which is
edges.
what I liked about the Honor 400 Pro. It just there was something about the design, the shape of it, and I think a lot of it was down to those corners that they just got right, instead of going for this whole kind of square thing that seems to be the trend for everyone else. The same thing was true with the Nothing Phone 3 and the Nothing Phone, the only Nothing Phone that is anyway nice in the hand to hold without it being too corner centric is the Nothing Phone 2, in my case here, the plus 2 plus, no, yeah, the plus, the 2 plus, I can't even remember the name of it now. But anyway, they moved away after that from the rounded corners. So anyway, all I'm saying is that I like that about the 600 Pro.
Yeah, definitely. It does feel really nice in the hand. That paired with the size, the way, yeah, it is a nice package. And if you do prefer a flat screen, it has a flat screen. I don't mind the subtle curves on the 8 Pro and the signature that now myself, but I used to prefer flat screens. And yeah, it is nice sometimes.
I think I would rather have the 8 Pro though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Particularly if you can now get it for much the same price anyway. But then I suppose the Honor 600 Pro price will drop as well.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's finding the right time. Honor do deals all the time. So do other places as well, many other places. So it's just looking for the right time, really. Same with the Moto devices we've mentioned, Ted. You know you can always get a deal during the year, often with free gifts as well. So it's just about waiting for the right time.
Yeah, definitely. Right, okay then. Thanks a lot. We'll link to your video in the show notes for people to have a look, and also to Wingfest for those ignorant gits like me that don't know what that is. So you can go and have an explore of that as well. Right, my week has been very Motorola-ish. So skip forward, dear listener, 10 minutes if you don't like the sound of that. Motorola PR sent me over the Moto Sound Flow speaker. In actual fact, I said to them, look, if you're going to send me one, I won't be able to test out all the claimed features of this thing. So perhaps you should send me two. And sure enough, they did. So thank you to Moto PR for doing that. I've got two of these here now. A pair of Motorola Sound Flow speakers. And some of the unique features in these speakers actually do work, and the only trouble is that they only work with devices, with Motorola devices that are UWB ultra wideband enabled, so you're actually locked down to a fairly short list of devices, Motorola devices that will work with the Edge 50, the Razer 60 Ultra, the Edge 50 Ultra, the Razer 60 Ultra, the Razer 2025 Ultra, I think that's the American one, and the Signature, and that's it. Now, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia page, which explains which other ones you can expect this to work on. And there's not a huge amount. Lots of Samsung devices and Xiaomi and Apple devices, as long as they're over, I think, since 2019, iPhone 11. So those all work. And the features that you can expect to get, once you downloaded the SoundFlow app from Motorola, because if you don't, they won't work, I'll come to that, some of them are unique to what they're doing here. The dynamic stereo. So if you set up both speakers, they don't just play in stereo like you would expect, but they use the ultra wideband in your phone to track your physical position between them, where you are. And when you move around it adjusts the left-right audio balance to match where you're standing. So it makes the stereo still work perfectly. And it's even cleverer than that. It pulls out the, like, for example, if someone's singing, it'll pull out the vocal track and make sure that's in the right place in relation to the two speakers and where the phone is. If you leave the phone in the middle of them and walk to one side, of course you don't get that. It knows where you are because of the ultra wideband enabled feature. And that also means that you've got to have Wi-Fi on for that to work as well. So if you don't put Wi-Fi on, which comes in the box, well, if you put the Wi-Fi on, you get higher quality sound reproduction and so forth. And if you don't put that on, it just kind of goes back to basic. But you can use it in basic mode. You can use both of them in just Bluetooth mode. There's also another feature which is called room shift. So if you put one in one room and one in the other, then carry your phone with you when you go, the sound will automatically, when you reach the middle point, it will stop on the one you're coming from and switch automatically to the one you're going to. And that also works with this thing called proximity handoff quick switch, which means that you can, if you're listening on earbuds, for example, Moto Buds, you can move the phone towards the speaker and it will stop playing on the buds and play with the speaker. So it's just smart about because of this UWB, it knows where your phone is, and it knows where it's logged into your Wi-Fi, so you get this higher level of audio anyway, and it all just seems to work. I asked Gemini, and apparently other manufacturers have done similar to this, but not quite in the same way. And she tells me that this, you know, they've done something unique here, and it works really well. We've got 30 watt output for each of the speakers, a 20 watt woofer and a 10 watt tweeter. Bose have tuned the audio for what that is worth, but it does sound absolutely fantastic. It sounds when I turn the volume up on these two speakers, it, for my living situation, it's far too loud. I turned it up once and I thought, well, the neighbors are going to complain here. And they're not that big, really. Each of the speakers is only about, I don't know, 7 or so inches high. But they sit on this base. So each of them, when you buy one of these for about 170 quid, so they're not cheap. So this pair is like 340 quid. But each of them comes with a base, which you sit the speaker on, and that charges it. It's a dedicated charging cradle, basically, and you put it on there. It has got a USB-C port on the back of the speaker too, so you can charge it away from base if you want to. Each one's got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery, which is rated for up to 12 hours. I tested it at 33% volume, because that's all I could get away with. And I noted that it dropped 5% per hour on average. And that was just listening to audio, so not doing anything else, just audio on Wi-Fi. And if you scale that up, you could expect about 20 hours. I'm not sure. The 12 hours comes from probably 50% volume, and as it's usually done. So that's nice. They're really nicely made, though. They've got this kind of twill textured fabric thingy around the outside, and it feels like it just feels really nice to the touch, and holding it is really nice. It's got an IP67 rating, and the I would say that the hardware is just really premium. They feel really, really good. They feel like a luxury item and really smart. When you get to the there's one little quibble I've got, which is that there's no battery gauge. So the only way of knowing what the battery level is on either of the two speakers is to go into the app. And a lot of this relies heavily on the Moto Soundflow app. And the battery gauge thing is just one of them. There is an LED on the top of the thing, and it kind of, you know, it tells you what it's doing to some degree, but it doesn't give you any battery indication. But I do wonder about leaving the speakers on the stands all the time being charged, whether that's going to knacker the batteries. I'm no doubt it will. So it probably is the best idea to treat it like any other lithium ion device and take the thing off and not have it on the stand all the time. But then people probably buying this will be doing that. They'll be taking it to the beach, won't they, and having fun with it, unlike sad git me. One of the two becomes the primary in the pair in terms of Bluetooth. There's buttons all over the top of it to do various things, you know, power on and off, and volume up and down, capacitive buttons on the top. The only complaint I think I've got at the moment, really, apart from there being no physical battery gauge, is that the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi is just fiddly to set up. I mean, I've always thought that Bluetooth is a pain in the ass, frankly, and I've had this with previous pairs of Sony speakers. I never seem to know where I am and what's going on, and multiple attempts to turn one on, then the other, and then press button combinations and blah blah blah, just to get it all to work. Add Wi-Fi into the mix here, and I just think it's just complicated. And I think people that have got two of these are likely just to give up, frankly, or if they've just got one phone, unlike me, because I'm trying to switch this between different phones, but if you've just got one phone, then I suppose it's not so bad. Once you get it set up and that's it. But I found that when I switched to another phone, the only way, another Motorola phone, mind you, I was playing around between the Signature and the Razr 60 Ultra, which both have the ultra wide band. And in the end, I just factory reset the two speakers. I just could not make it work. And I think that there are some updates needed. The SoundFlow app probably needs updating. Possibly how it works with Bluetooth needs updating. Possibly how it works with Wi-Fi needs updating. Yes, expect a fiddle. Once you get it set up, don't change it. But I'll be watching out for updates, and I think it can only get better. Well, as long as people are buying them, of course, as we know with Motorola, if people don't buy them and don't use them, then they'll just abandon them, and then they won't get any updates at all. It doesn't work with the other apps in the mix. It doesn't work with the Moto Buds app, incidentally. It only works with the SoundFlow app. And I tried to connect it to Smart Connect as well. And although you get the dialogue up in Smart Connect, it doesn't actually do anything. It just, all it does is it invites you to download the SoundFlow app. So there's not really much advantage in that. You trying to hook it up with Smart Connect, not at this stage. I really like the sound they make. I just wish that I hope that they will fix some of these Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and app stuff so that people just don't have a horrible fiddle around and possibly just give up and send the blooming thing back and buy a simpler one. So there you go. That was my experience so far.
Sounds very Moto, doesn't it? I love the sound of this, though, that it's very premium looking, and I don't understand the omission of ultra wideband from the Razr Fold, though. We spoke about that, didn't we, during the week?
Yes, yes, that's right. I specifically said, because Gemini said to me, or the Wikipedia thing said to me, and I said to Gemma, surely the Razr Fold is in there. It's their flagship, isn't it? And what was it they said to me? I can't remember now. They said that the focus of the Fold was for something different to the Signature.
You shouldn't be listening to music with your Fold.
Right, yeah. It was something like that, yeah. The emphasis with the Fold is more about business people and business use and people using spreadsheets on the widescreen and all that sort of thing, you know.
Mm. The speakers sound great, Ted. I mean, even if you bought just the one, the sound from what you're saying is very good. I mean, the Bose sound on all the Moto audio products sounds really good. I love that little speaker you gave me.
Yeah,
use it daily. Mm-hmm. and like you say, that premium sort of look to it and feel to it is, yeah, very, very good. I don't think the price is that bad for what you're getting.
Don't you? Okay.
No, I don't think so. When you compare it to some other speakers in a similar price point, I don't think it's that bad.
Particularly if it all worked.
Yeah, particularly if it all worked. I guess normal people just have the one phone, unlike us.
Yeah.
Did you say it worked with a load of Samsung ones as well, then? Because they've got ultra wideband, haven't
they? Yeah. I'll put a link to the wiki page in the show notes, which gives the whole list of UWB phones. And there is quite a lot. It's just that it's not every phone. And it's not even, as we just discussed about the Razr Fold, it's not even everyone's flagship phone. There's a specific list.
But I guess just as a Bluetooth speaker, it's still very good.
If you just do it simply, don't install the app, don't use the SoundFlow app, and just put one of them on Bluetooth, it works perfectly well. In fact, if you do that with both of them, it works perfectly well, but you just don't get all that clever
extra jazz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all that higher level audio via Wi-Fi. Here we go. It supports Wi-Fi 5 and above, which allows for high-res, lossless home streaming via Apple AirPlay, Google Cast, and Spotify Connect. That's the official line.
Mm. I mean, it's good that things are going this way, because that you should be able to walk around in different rooms and your phone interact with your devices, like
Yes,
speakers and stuff. Yeah.
and Samsung does do that. So if you've got a Samsung TV, for example, you can go and put the phone, tap the phone on the telly, and make the whatever you're doing go across to the telly. So it's not this is not unique in many respects to Motorola, but apparently the combination of what it's doing with Wi-Fi and UWB and Bluetooth and blah 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 blah, the positional dynamics of moving the stereo around. Apparently, that's the bit that they reckon is unique to it. But yeah, other devices and other ecosystems, no doubt, have their own solutions for a lot of that.
This is what we like about tech, though. This is what we want to see, stuff like this. So it's great, great that Moto's working, and I think with Lenovo being behind them, it's an aspect of this as well, isn't it? Them having an ecosystem of different devices. So yeah, watch this space, I guess, with the future of Moto.
Indeed. I'll put a link in the show notes to a thing I penned about smartwatch cable chaos, which is basically saying that isn't it about time that smartwatches had a universal charging solution?
100% agree, yeah.
USB-C, please. And there are arguments either way as to why that can and can't be done, and blah blah blah. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes to that. I did post it in the MeWe group as well. And just lastly, to say that my SIM card, surprisingly, after all I've said above, is in the Moto Edge 60 Neo at the moment, which, as you know, I absolutely love, and I've been back in the kind of Motorola world now, playing with the Buds Loop and the Watch Fit and these Soundflow speakers and Smart Connect and my low Lenovo tablet. It's just great. It's such a dinky little phone. It's so easy to use, and I keep wanting to take the TPU off of it, because with the TPU off of it, it's even smaller and dinkier, and it's really nice. I've got it in this red color as well, which is really, really nice. So yes, it's nowhere near as powerful as the Signature or the Razr 60 Ultra or the Razr Fold, but it certainly does have a size advantage. And it depends on how much you're doing with your phone, I think, as to whether or not you actually need a powerhouse flagship in your pocket. And with my lifestyle, I don't think I do. I think it's okay with me. My phone in my pocket is quite secondary to the other ways in which I interact online and what tech I use. So the Edge 60 Neo, now £260 or something, with its feature set, is just stunning. And with 5 years of OS updates, I don't think anyone can still go wrong with the Edge 60 Neo, or even the Edge 50 Neo. Either of them are just great. So there
Yeah,
you go.
and I can dare say I can argue that's the case for a lot of people. We overbuy, don't we?
Yes.
For what we actually truly need.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's what I've been up to. Let's go to photo of the week, and we've both got a pick here, so you go first.
Yeah, I call this one Hurdles, and it's by Ian Chappell. He's extracted the image from burst mode on his 3x telephoto on his 22 Ultra. It shows Nadine Visser in 100 meters hurdle semi-final of the Dutch Championships. She's very clearly much in the lead, and unless she falls over, I'm certain she's going to win this race. But yeah, I think it's quite a cool image, because we don't see many sports images, do we, from mobile devices? So well done, Ian, for giving us something a bit different.
So he's used burst mode and
yeah
picked out one of the images from the burst mode. Okay, yeah.
yeah
Have you used burst mode at all in your time with phones, or is it something you've left alone?
I don't use it too much. No, I find the shutter speeds are normally quite good now, but then I haven't tried to capture 100 meters hurdle race. So, I mean, it's the perfect feature for this type of thing. And it's come
Presumably,
out.
as long as the light's good enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that is one aspect. And do you know what? Sometimes I forget the burst mode's there. Because I think on Samsung, you can, if you go on the shutter button and pull upwards, I think it is, or downwards, that activates burst mode in a shortcut from memory.
Oh, okay, right.
But yeah, it's a great feature.
Cool. Okay, my pick is by Charlie Winston, our friend from PSC Photography, of course, and it's called Salted Caramel Latte and Americano, and it's two cups of coffee. He took this with the Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra in Chiang Mai in Thailand. The point I like about this is that it's obviously a still life. It's two cups of coffee on two wooden boards, and on the face of it, kind of pretty boring, but it's actually a really nice still life image, and I like stuff like this. I think it's good, and it's about taking an everyday scene and suddenly seeing an image there, and in this case, lifting up your phone and pointing it down on the table and making an image out of it, and then getting your composition right and doing the stuff, and the lighting, no doubt the lighting would have been fixed by the camera, the phone itself, but everyday scenes, you know, step back, have a look, don't zoom, step. and see what images you can come up with. I think it's a really nice picture which accentuates all the grain all over the place, and the textures and the nice colors in the copies as well. Any thoughts?
That's what I was gonna say. It's a very simple image, but yet very interesting at the same time, like all the elements you mentioned. And although there's a lot of symmetry there, there's asymmetry with the fact that there's different coffees and there's different elements on the each board.
Yeah.
Knowing Winston, if you measured the board to the edge on each side, it would be exactly the same.
Yeah, Mr. Winston, you mean?
Mr. Winston, yeah.
If you call him Winston, he'll get upset.
Yeah, I don't know why I said the Winston like that.
Don't worry, he won't be listening anyway.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, knowing Mr. Winston, knowing Charlie, he wouldn't have had that exactly bang on that you could measure it with.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And he'll make a pie graph about it.
Yes, yeah. It's a great image, though. I really like it.
Yeah. Don't forget, we do the PSC Photography podcast every fortnight. So that's in the mix and in the show notes and in the all the links and at tedsalmon.com and everywhere else. So do check that out if you don't. Before we go, we'll just do the classifieds. My pick, I noticed, was Tunde's OnePlus 15. OnePlus are getting a bit of a bad name at the moment, as we know, but maybe a good time to buy one. 1 terabyte version this is of the OnePlus 15, 16 gigabytes of RAM in sandstone, excellent condition. It's been flashed with Oxygen OS, all Google services running, including Android Auto, Google Pay and Play Store and everything else. Boxed with a UK plug and cable, £550. And for the 1 terabyte, 16 gigabyte version, I think that's a really good price and might be one of the last chances people will get to get on to a proper flagship OnePlus device, depending on what happens with them, of course. So that was my pick.
Yeah, it's an excellent pick. I mean, it's by far the best phone that's on classified right now. Great value for money. So I'm sure that'll get snapped up really quickly. Mm-hmm. There's not much else on there that I saw. I mean, there's a load of watches. Yesterday I put up your Honor Watch Choice Watch. Only 30 quid. It's like new. And that's going to go in Ted's pocket. So if you want to support Ted and get a watch him back for it, why not buy that? If you want a slightly newer version, you've got Ashok's Watch Pro 2. That's brand new. He's doing that for double the price at 60 quid, though. I am going to be putting up my OnePlus Watch 2 today. I've just taken pictures. That'll probably be 60 quid as well, maybe. And I will be putting my Apple Series Watch 9 up too. That one's not as good condition, but I'll be doing a good deal on it, no doubt. And I am still interested in Ashok's 100 watt wireless charger. I may ask him if he'll do a deal on that one.
Yeah. Why have you got an Apple Watch 9? I didn't know you had that.
So I bought it on contract for my wife. It cost me silly money because it's a cellular one. It cost me over 500 quid.
Great.
But she bought herself a Garmin, so she uses that for So yeah,
and in the process knackered it or roughed it up.
Well, when she was using it, it did get a bit roughed up. I don't know how the back's so scratched. I mean, all your sensors were working fine. She just didn't like the fact that it was a one-day watch. Well, less than one day. When she did a run in the morning, she would need to charge it, which she didn't always have time to do because they're not the fastest charging Apple Series 9 watches. So she went to the Garmin for better integration for her running,
right.
Quite frankly, okay. So I was silly for buying it. I mean, it was more me being a tech guy thinking, oh, this will be a great present. Not really thinking it through the expense that it's cost me.
Does she use an iPhone then?
Yes, she does.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh dear, very sad. I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's your classifieds then. If you want to join our classifieds group, then you need to get an invitation. And the way to get an invitation is to email me and chat to me about that. We do try our best to do what we can to protect the members in there from being ripped off by other people. And so that's one of the ways in which we try to do that. So drop me an email. And if you're listening to this, you'll know what my email address is. And if you don't, ask a friend. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle. Podhub UK is where you'll find all the stuff, of course. A plug for the Nomad Tech Project, which I was watching on Sunday with Sam and Joe, most Sunday evenings, although not this week, apparently, and this week coming. And it's good fun, natter about this, that and everything, which is really good. I watch it on the telly. We were talking about this before the show, and I was saying to Joe that I like to settle down with my glass of beer about 11 o'clock on Sunday evening and watch it through, and it's really enjoyable. So well done to you and Sam for keeping that going.
Cheers. The comedy act. we are.
If you want to buy me a copy, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85.
That's all right.
Otherwise, Podhub UK for links, tedsalmon.com if you get lost, all the MeWe groups and all our audio podcasts are in there. This week we've got a projector room coming along in the next 24 hours. This one, of course, PSC. And what else have we got? I think that's it for this week, but keep an eye on that. And as I said earlier, the PSC Photography podcast will be back next week, which will be after show 904 next Monday, in which we welcome Zain Shahid to join us and natter about phones and mobile tech for an hour or so. Hope you enjoyed the show. Any last words from you, Joe?
No, I think I've nattered on enough this show. I'll spare you all.
Fair enough. Okay. So take care, everyone. Thanks for listening and catch you soon.
Cheers.